When the red, red robin comes bob, bob, bobbing along, along, there'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing his old sweet song. Oh, wake up, you sleepyhead, get up, get out of bed, cheer up. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy. What if I've been blue? Now I'm walking through fields of flowers. Rain may glisten, but still I listen for hours and hours. I'm just a kid again, doing what I did again, singing a song. When the red, red robin starts bob, bob, bobbing along.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, and welcome you to the first hour of this week's edition of Animal World. You can find us here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio, which means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And hint, 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 today would be a very good day to share us. And if you want to pick up the stream for the show, the best way to do that is go to the Animal World website. That would be www.marthanorwalk.com, N-O-R-W-A-L-K, just like it sounds, marthanorwalk.com. Click on the Listen Live icon in the upper right-hand corner of the homepage. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website and bring up the links that you need to stream the show. And I have to, and by the way, you know, you can find us on Facebook these days, Martha Norwalk's Animal World, and a lot of great stuff on Facebook. I, once again, was posting all kinds of stuff this week, and it is, if I turn my neck over and look out the windows, it is another kind of gray, damp morning this morning, but it could be worse. Yesterday was really windy and really rainy, but brightening up our studio, as always, would be Animal World's production engineer, Mike Roberge, is here. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
And how did you fare through the winds and the storm yesterday? Was your area good?
Uneventful, yeah. There was some urban flooding. I've adopted a storm drain, So I had to hit that yesterday afternoon when I got home.
And get that cleaned out.
It was backing up, but not too bad.
Yeah. I can tell you, I've had almost more than 2.5 inches of rain in the last day and a half, and big winds yesterday, enough so that my power went out yesterday morning. Fortunately, not for a really long time. I'm really grateful for the wonderful PUD services out in my area of Snohomish County, because, boy, they were on it right away. And when I finally drove out to go do my session yesterday, there were a couple of trees down, so I think it was local right in my neighborhood. But
we could have some more wind today.
Yeah.
We're still under a wind advisory through this evening.
Okay.
And a winter storm warning up in the mountains. Freezing levels starting to drop a little bit. We could actually see a little bit of snow at the higher elevations.
Yeah, how good would that be?
Bring it on.
Might be a good sign for this.
Keep it
winter,
there in the mountains, but bring it on.
Yeah, exactly. I am total agreement with you. In the mountains, we're good without it here, but we do need a snow cap in the mountains. And as always, our Animal World call screener, bright and cheery, on the other side of the glass, that would be Kathy Southwick, is here. Good morning, Kath. Whoops, we don't have her turned on here. I think we forgot.
Good morning.
There you are. She is here.
It was probably my fault. Oh. Pushed the wrong button. Well, yeah, Mike shaking his head. Yes, yeah, of course.
That happens.
That's Kathy.
Well, I'm glad you found the right button.
Yeah, there we go.
Glad to have you in the studio with us today. And I think you said your neighborhood fared well with no.
Fared
no...
well, yes, yes. Now, Mike, I have a question. It seems as though I heard that the snow will be in all the passes except for Snoqualmie. Is that still true?
Well, freezing levels at 4,000 feet, so there'll be probably mixed snow. Nothing. It'll be rain at Snoqualmie because it's just not high enough.
They said last night.
There could be some snow in Stevens. There could be a little bit at White. Certainly there'll be some snow in the North Cascades and probably on Baker and Rainier as well. In fact, they're advising Mount Rainier, the national park, is inviting people to not come today because of the weather is going to be pretty extreme. Between potential for slides and rain and washouts and all that good stuff, good time to stay home, go outside and clean that storm drain, and just let her batten down the hatches.
Well, unless you, like me, live in the land of no sidewalks and no drains or anything, nothing to clear out except your own properties and all of that in my neighborhood.
You might want to take a look around. Sometimes those drainage ditches can become full-on torrents.
So, yeah.
And they get blocked up.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. And we do have those in our neighborhood, but, you know, actually I've never seen a lot of water in them. So, but I'm going to heed your advice and take a look at that. And I can say that I know that there was some flooding in Salton yesterday, which is, you know, within a couple miles of me. And it looked that yep. there was 6 to 10 inches of water running down
Skokomish,
Main Street.
Snohomish? Skokomish?
Skykomish.
But it's the
Skokomish?
Skokomish. And the Snoqualmie are running very high right now.
Yeah. I think it was the Skykomish yesterday is yeah. when the flooding was in Salton. But maybe that's, well, it wasn't raining this morning when I left, so hopefully that's all slowed down. But that's kind of a normal thing to get water on the main streets down in the low part of Salton. Now, it actually is quite nice around the area. I was anticipating maybe some stormy weather this morning, but I was out and about early and all over the place. Oh, and by the way, I hope you all remembered to fall back and turned your clocks back last night. Because if you didn't, you've been tapping your toes or in your fingers for an hour wondering where the heck we are. But we are here, and I'm delighted to say that we have a full studio and the round table here, and filling out our table today is Susan Usha Derman. And if you remember, she is the author of Calm and Compassionate Children, a handbook. And welcome back to Animal World, Susan.
Thank you, Martha. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad you're here. And of course, I know you as Usha, and so that's how you know we will talk today. And last time you were on the air, gosh, maybe was it a month ago?
Yes.
That we did a short interview about your book, Calm and Compassionate Children, and the Living Wisdom Schools we talked a little bit about. But had such great feedback, and I'm so curious myself that we decided to do an entire show honoring the human animal, and that would be our children today, and talking about the Living Wisdom Schools and what they're all about. Because I realized that, you know, I really wish that Living Wisdom Schools had existed when I was a child, because I was one of those kids. I was very, very smart and did very well in school grade-wise, but I was not happy in school, and I did not enjoy my experience. And had there been Living Wisdom Schools, Martha would have been a much happier camper. So I want to get the word out there for especially those sensitive types out there that there's another choice other than public and private schools. And that would be the Living Wisdom Schools. That's going to be the focus of our show today. Now, I just want to let you know, in addition to that, we will, of course, start the show as we always do. Not quite ready to do that yet. We will do current events sometime during the show. You know, always shoot for about 10:50, and that will likely be the case today as well. We will do a Designing Health Missing Link giveaway, so if you would like to win some of the Missing Link supplement for any of your animal friends, there are supplements for dogs. There's three for dogs. There's one for cats. There's a vegetarian blend that you can feed to both dogs and cats and other little critters as well. There's a bird formula and a poultry formula for you city chickens and so forth that we will have available to you. There's a horse version as well, but we don't give that away on the air. It's just too heavy to ship. And the only rules are you need to be 18 years or older to win, and you cannot have won a contest on this show or any other show on this station in the last 30 days. Other than that, it will it is wide open to whoever calls, and I will let you know when it's time for the giveaway, and I will give you the missing link word or words of the days, and then you pick up your phone to call Kathy and choose what version of Missing Link you would like sent to your door. Now, I'm going to give you phone numbers to jot down. We are not going to take phone calls initially in the show today, but I hope to get through all of the information about the Living Wisdom Schools in a timely enough fashion that we will have time later in the show if you have specific questions for Usha about your kids or her book, Calm and Compassionate Children, or anything that goes on with the Living Wisdom Schools, that you will be able to give us a call. And of course, when we do the Missing Link giveaway, you'll need the numbers. So jot these down. Local number 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527. Toll free is 888-298-5527. 298 1-888-298-5569. That, remember the 1-888-298-5569. And you can shoot us an email anytime during the show to animalworldlive@hotmail.com. That's animalworldlive@hotmail.com. And once again, I encourage you to get on the Animal World Facebook page, because I'm not going to do any good news about animals or the recalls and stuff today, because I want to focus on our subject and give as much time to that as possible. But I will tell you that there were two recalls this week that I have posted on Martha Norwalk's Animal World Facebook page. One of them is a product that I hadn't heard of, so, you know, it would be you either know about it and use it or you don't. The other one is a Halo product. I believe it's a turkey and their dry food or something. But you want to pop on there if Halo is a brand that you feed to your cat friends, because there was a recall, and it's not the kind of recall that really isn't a big deal, like the salmonella or, you know, sort of thing. This is a recall for mold, and that can be a problem for the animals. So you want to pay attention to that. And then there's a ton of good stuff on the Facebook page. A lot of great stories and photographs. Great. I know, Kathy, you saw a lot of them. That wonderful story about the little deer that the guy rescued and helped, and then got it back, its strength back, and then was able to return it to its mom and sibling, and then check on it. Just a heartwarming story. And some great elephant stories. There's some petitions that I'm encouraging you to sign related to SeaWorld, orcas, and Ringling Brothers, Barnum and Bailey. You know, the good news this year from them is that they are going to phase out their elephants in the circuses by, I think, 2018 or something. And however, their plans are to continue breeding these elephants in captivity. They have a big compound, I believe, down in Florida. So this petition is to say, hey, you guys, let's stop breeding elephants in captivity. It just does not serve them. So that's up there, along with all of the other stories. And oh, and Kathy, you sent me a really good one that we put up about the German shepherds being used in Africa, to 12 of them, to help with the poachers. And what a great plan that is. So some really great and interesting and educational pieces on Martha Norwalk's Animal World on Facebook. So check it out. Okay, I think that's all the business we have to take care of. So now we can start the show. I bet you thought we already started, Usha.
I did.
Yeah, well, it's not official until we invoke and honor the saint that's been guiding my work with the animals for so many years. That, of course, would be Saint Francis. And besides that, it's Sunday. So I do a couple of little prayers, Saint Francis prayers, one a short one for our animal friends and a longer one for us humans, because we need a little more help. So is everybody ready? Here we go. This is the prayer to Saint Francis for our animal friends. Good Saint Francis, you loved all of God's creatures. To you, they were your brothers and sisters. Help us to follow your example of treating every living thing with kindness. Saint Francis, patron saint of animals, watch over our animal friends and keep our companions safe and healthy. Now, for us humans, it's the Saint Francis of Assisi Peace Prayer. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love, for it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Om, peace, amen. All righty, we're official.
We're official.
We are official. The show has begun. All right, so we are going to start today. And remember, we are, for anybody that's wondering what happened to Shelter Rescue Sanctuary and anything that helps our animal friends Sunday, we are deviating from the normal plan, as I am regrouping on the schedule and all of that for our first Sunday of the month show. We're in the last category of anything that helps our animal friends, because Saint Francis and my guides told me after the last time that Usha was on the show with us, we cannot serve our animal friends on this planet any better than by raising calm and compassionate children and helping them to be the best that they can be, you know, with open hearts. And that really does serve our animal friends. And of course, we humans are animals. So like I say, today we're serving the human animal, and our subject, the broader subject, is going to be the Living Wisdom Schools. But first off, if you weren't here for our last interview with Usha, it is Susan Usha Derman. Her book is called Calm and Compassionate Children, a Handbook. And how long ago did you write this book, Usha?
It came out in 2007.
Okay. And you have been a teacher. Pretty much that has been your life calling, hasn't it?
It certainly has. It started out as a high school teacher.
Okay.
I was a school librarian. And then I started working the alternative Living Wisdom Schools in 1984.
All right. And now you are, I'm taking advantage of you because you
Not at all.
because you are up here in our, you know, greater Seattle area. You are residing at the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, the Ananda Church of Self-Realization, our, you know, intentional community here in Linwood area. You have kind of implanted here and parked yourself for about 6 months, and at kind of supporting and coaching and working with the Living Wisdom School that's here in this area. Is that correct?
That's correct. I like that word, coach. I've been calling myself a consultant, but I think I like coach better.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, I told you behind the scenes, I have been hearing wonderful things about, you know, the little classes and stuff that you've been teaching for the teachers and so forth. They really are in awe of what you do, and they've just saying that she's an incredible teacher, and that she is so good at gearing the information and the intuition to what the class needs and all of that sort of thing. But anyway, I'm hearing rave reviews about the work you're doing up here. So
thank you, Martha. Maybe, just years of experience.
All right. And maybe we'll convince you to stay a while longer. But
well,
at any rate, for right now, you're here through the end of January, and you were sharing with me on the ride down here, because that's why I was out and about. Usha is not familiar with our area, doesn't have a car. And of course, for the show, I really wanted to have her in the studio. So we got to ride in to the station today. And you were saying that usually, you know, when you go places to do things, you usually have a feel or a sense or a calling of where you're going next, but you don't know that yet. So
I don't. The future's really open.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of semi-retired for a year, and then that got a little boring, and I felt I wanted to be more service. So that's how I ended up here, and I'm looking forward to perhaps helping other of the Living Wisdom Schools, perhaps doing more writing. I do have another book in my, it's sort of in the astral realm right now.
Right,
some
right.
of it's written down. But
oh, I know about that. I've got several running around, and
yes.
That's next on my list to start, so I can certainly relate to that.
Yes.
Now, so you have been a teacher at some level all of your career life.
That's right. Everything from third grade through freshman in college.
Okay. When did you become a member of the Ananda Institute and drawn to that? Because it's really a spiritual calling.
Yes. Well, actually, was interested in yoga, starting out yoga and then meditation from the time I was very young, and I visited the Ananda community, the first one in Nevada City, California, actually in the mid-70s.
Uh-huh.
But I moved there in 1984.
All right. And,
yes, and that's when I started teaching there.
Excellent. And so I can't think of anyone better to be here to really enlighten us about the Living Wisdom Schools and what they're all about, because you weren't there from the absolute beginning, but of course you know the whole story, but really from the 80s on, you
yes,
have been actively involved.
And in 1986 is when Swami Kriyananda wrote and published Education for Life, which delineated the philosophy of the school. The school had already been in existence, but it got it in black and white about the philosophy, the systems, why we do what we do.
So that would be a book if people are interested in knowing more from Swami Kriyananda's, the kind
yes.
of the founder and creator of all this. That would be the book to start with?
Yes, and I wanted to emphasize Education for Life.
Education for
because
Life.
Because not just Living Wisdom Schools, because those schools can only serve so many people at this point, but Education for Life can be adopted and studied and used by teachers in any school, any situation. And we do Wow. give teacher workshops, teacher trainings, and people find a great benefit in bringing the principals into their classrooms, wherever they are.
That's wonderful to know. Now, the Education for Life, that book would, author would be, and sometimes it's listed as both, Swami Kriyananda or J. Donald Walters.
J. Donald Walters. It's copyrighted in his given name.
His mm-hmm. given name would be J. Donald Walters. And is that available through Crystal Clarity? Is it a Crystal Clarity publication?
It is available through Amazon.
Through Amazon, pretty much anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much anywhere.
Probably you could East West Bookshop in Seattle or mm-hmm. the boutique at the Temple in Bothell.
Yes.
Any of those places, if they didn't have it on the shelf, could get it for you. But
I'm sure East West does have it on the shelf.
I would imagine yes. East West does. And mm-hmm. and Amazon, of course. But Education for Life, J. Donald Walters, that is the book that really describes what this is all about.
And it's a very seminal book, meaning the author told us that he hoped that we would write much more. It doesn't get too much, although it does have a lot of practical suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
There's so much more to be said because this is applying to every level of education from preschool through college. And so one book, of course, can't address all of that. So that's why I have a book. And then the founder of the schools is actually Nitai Michael Duranja, and he has a book also for teachers called For Goodness Sake, which has a lot of activities that teachers could use.
Okay, so For Goodness Sake.
Mm-hmm.
And what is his name again?
Duranja, D as in David, E-R-A-N-J-A.
Duranja, what was the last name?
That's his last name.
Is it Duranja?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And there's also, I recommend to the website, edforlife.com, E-D-F-O-R, life. I mean, .org, excuse me.
Edforlife.org.
Which has links to a lot of the things we'll talk about today.
Excellent.
And it also has a lot about our philosophy.
Mm-hmm. All right. And we will repeat those books and the links and so forth again in the show.
Okay.
And at this point, we're going to stay on schedule pretty much. We have to take care of our advertisers and sponsors. And it really is the most important part of the show, folks, because without them, there is no us. And I can't do this great kind of programming. So stay tuned, pay attention, support them, thank them, and stay right where you are because we're going to find out what the Living Wisdom Schools are all about straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Here's a thought to consider from the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga. With the love and care you offer your pets, what about another important pet project, finding happiness? But how do you find happiness? Money? Health? Love? Or millions of people are finding that the regular practice of meditation or yoga can brighten your life with an inner satisfaction and contentment that no possession, position, or title can give. Find our schedule of classes and events at anandawashington.org. That's A-N-A-N-D-A Washington.org.
Ever wonder what your pet is thinking? Why they do certain things? Or how they're adapting to a change in the household? Darcy Pariso, animal intuitive medium and Reiki master, can help you with all of those things. Darcy can help you connect with your pet or other animal, here or in spirit. She'll also share messages including your pet's past lives and soul purpose. Clients say Darcy's readings are so much more than they expected and result in a deeper bond with her pets. Contact Darcy at darcypariso.com. That's Darcy Pariso, P-A-R-I-S-O.com. Or call 425-280-5132.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping, or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Outside the box, outside the norm, inside your radio. Alternative Talk, 1150.
Yep, that would be us. I'm Martha Norwalk, and you're listening to Animal World, and for that, I thank you. And I just wanted to remind you that you heard about the Ananda Institute of Living Yoga, and they have everything to do with our show today. But did you know that now everybody thinks that yoga is just the physical yoga? That's actually the hatha yoga. There are other kinds of yoga that the Institute kind of umbrellas. But did you know that the Institute of Living Yoga now offers advanced yoga courses and leading to Yoga Alliance 500 level RYT 500 certification? You can check that out at www.instituteoflivingyoga.org. for details. And if you want to know more about Ananda, anandawashington.org. All right. And then you heard about Darcy Pariso, our favorite Animal World animal communicator, medium and Reiki master. And delighted to say Darcy will be in the studio with us next week. It's our Talk with Your Animals Sunday, so you can call in and get free readings. She can help you understand your animal friends, communicate with them, or help you connect with animals or human loved ones on the other side. And if you want to reach Darcy for private consultation, you can. Her website is www.darcypariso.com, or you can call her at 425-280-5132, and she's got a few events coming up in the near future, and those are listed on current events on MarthaNorwalk.com. Just click on current events. Alrighty then, we kind of had played a little musical chairs during the interim there because Kathy could not stand it, and she couldn't stay isolated in her studio in the other room. Since we're not taking phone calls till later in the show, we had her come join us here. So now we have a fuller roundtable. And that's because, and then another reason, I'm glad that you came into the studio, Kathy, because you always have such great questions to ask of our guests. And you have kind of one up on me because I don't have human children or grandchildren. I have animals, but you do have children and you do have grandchildren. Mike has grandchildren too. So you guys may have more good questions for Usha as we get into the discussion. So anyway, Kathy's here, and glad you're here.
Thank you. And we
are talking to Usha Derman, who the author of Calm and Compassionate Children, and who has been very involved with the Living Wisdom Schools. She started teaching with them, did you say, 1984?
That's right.
All right. So before, as we start here, just give us a kind of an overall concept. What are the Living Wisdom Schools?
The Living Wisdom Schools are private alternative schools. They're private, but nonprofit.
Ah.
Yes, unlike some other schools that are part of chains that are for profit.
I didn't realize that.
Yes.
So most private schools are for profit.
No, not most.
No,
but some are.
Some, mm-hmm. Okay.
And they are based on the Education for Life philosophy, as I said.
That's the book that we just talked about.
Yes, and most of the Living Wisdom Schools, if not all, are connected with Ananda communities or established areas where Ananda has been for a long time. But as I mentioned to you, other people, Montessori teachers, public school teachers, have taken Education for Life and found many of the principles applicable in any classroom. And we hope, we have had a lot of interest from people who want to start a private school where they are because they aren't happy with what their children would get in other schools.
Mm-hmm.
Who want to use the system, and we're very, very open to that. And we do require some training. But so it's a little broader than the Living Wisdom Schools. But the Living Wisdom Schools, we have, I think there are five in America. The first one started in Nevada City, believe it or not, pardon me, in 1972. So
wow.
It's been around more than 40 years.
And, of course, that is the site of the original and first Ananda community.
That's right.
And it's just Now, I haven't been blessed yet with the opportunity to visit Anand Village, but I'm hoping that's going to happen this year. And it is in California. It's in the mountains right around Nevada City. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And it has grown into quite a vast area.
Oh, yes. Since we started that community, it's become... Well, that area, Nevada City, is such a nice place to live. Many people retire there.
Okay.
So it's very not very populated, but very desirable.
All right. So the book Education for Life, that I thought at first maybe Swamiji Kriyananda wrote that prior to the creation of the Living Wisdom School, but it sounds like the book came after. Is that correct?
That's correct. After about 12 years, I think, of experimentation and sort of like a laboratory. The school is sort of like a laboratory. And all that time, they were getting guidance from Swami Kriyananda, but he hadn't formulated it into a book.
Okay, and so the beginning then back in 1972, how did the first Living Wisdom School kind of happen? And
I think it happened because people in the community had kids and needed
something.
They didn't want to send them to the regular public schools. They felt like the influence there would contradict sort of the way they were being brought up.
Yeah, that makes sense.
With a purpose other than just what American society, especially at that time, you remember back in the 70s, would call success.
Mm-hmm.
I think now there's much more awareness that success and happiness come from something other than achievements, money, etc.
And it's very interesting to me when I see so many people talking about education in schools. And in our traditional schools, really the focus is primarily on, what is it, the three R's, or reading, writing, and arithmetic, and those types of classes. And I certainly remember in being in school myself, it was all about learning those types of things. And, of course, you know, there'd be a history class or some other stuff in there as well. And then taking tests, which became very competitive. But I don't remember any education, like the book, Education for Life, I don't remember any life skills being taught.
Well, if they were taught, I believe they were taught in a more dogmatic manner.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like not to lie, not to cheat, a lot of nots, and not so many positive, nothing, of course, about positive thinking, about self-knowledge, about expansiveness to include the realities of others, which is one of our goals in the Education for Life schools.
Wonderful, wonderful.
And can I just go back one moment to when we were talking about the schools, because I gave the impression there perhaps that the schools were just for community members. It did start that way, the very first school, but now today, all of our schools, including the original one, have a majority of students who are not Ananda members, who are not part of the communities, who want the sort of education, because it's not sectarian. It's universal, it's spiritual, but not sectarian. We're not trying to sell anyone on any particular kind of religion, but rather on self-knowledge. What are the universal truths shared by all great religions and all, and even atheists can have, and do, most of the time, have a lot of human values that we all share.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, and the school, the first school in Nevada City, actually is the one that has the high school, and it's a boarding high school.
Oh, wow. So obviously the initial inspiration for creating the first school at Ananda Village was because there were so many families living there. They wanted a school that was more in line with their life philosophies that could serve their children. But it has grown now, because that was back in 1972. And we will, of course, before we're done today, we'll totally outline everywhere there are schools and what's provided there. And also, of course, we're finding out from Usha now that you don't necessarily have to have an Ananda school, you know, or a Living Wisdom school right in your neighborhood, that you can begin to incorporate these principles into whatever schools you have. And many have already started that, and that's where the help in the books that the Education for Life and, for goodness sakes, and the edforlife.org website can provide. But you also said something about that you teach some classes and workshops to support those kind of things. So
yes, we have. Well, first of all, we have online class that starts every September. We have a class for parents and teachers.
Oh, all right.
On the basic philosophy of education for life and how to work with students on their energy level and different tools of maturity, which I think we'll get to later in the show. And then we have, after that, every right at the start of the new year, we do a class for teachers and homeschooling parents on curriculum and lesson planning. Well, of course, our most important classes are where we can actually be with people, because you get so much more in person with exchange of magnetism and modeling. And so we sponsor different classes in different places. The Nevada City has had week-long seminars in the summer. Ananda Portland at Laurelwood has also had weekend classes on education for life. So all the time we're doing, and sometimes we have gone to different places, like I was mentioning, Nitai Duranja. I think he went to Michigan and did workshops there. We've gone to Texas. Yes.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really great. And I would imagine that, as you say, the online classes for parents and teachers start every September.
Yes.
And then every new year, I love that that's for teachers and homeschoolers. I mean, how cool is that?
Well, actually, yes. And actually, the first class is, too, the September starting class.
It's for homeschoolers as well.
Well, they're usually parents,
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And would information about that be at the edforlife.org website?
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Yes.
Yeah, all righty. That is absolutely fabulous. So when we go back to Ananda Village, 1972, we got parents in the community want a school for their kids. So the school starts up. At that point, did it start as a, you know, a whole, all the grade levels and so forth? I imagine it kind of started somewhere.
With the younger children.
With the younger children first.
But I think it grew to older children really quickly.
Really?
Yes, I only visited in those early days of the 70s, so I can't tell you a lot about it then. But I just wanted to say it's not just because of our own members' children, but it's also just, I mean, all people who have a spiritual bent realize that the sooner you start in childhood, because the children are so open and their hearts are open to sharing and helping them know themselves, the better. So you have the mindfulness movement with mindfulness training and for young children in schools, which has really helped a lot of public schools. And they see that discipline problems go down, grades go up where they do mindfulness. So it's just to share with any children anywhere whose parents.
Right. And I was just saying that was the motivation to get it going.
Mm-hmm.
But it, of course, J. Donald Walters / Swamiji Kriyananda, he always had the bigger picture, the global concept in mind, which, of course, he got from Paramahansa Yogananda and of the intentional communities and that's spreading this through everywhere. So the schools, like you said, are open to anyone. You do not have to be a member of Ananda. Go ahead, Kathy.
You know, that's one thing that I tried to teach my children as they grew up, and that was the acceptance of people in different religious organizations or belief systems. And I think that's one thing that I like about what you're saying is, how can we coexist if we don't know about each other? And accept our waves, and, you know, not everything is meant.
To be my way or the highway.
Exactly.
There are lots of different ways.
And, you know, that's how we started raising our kids, is there was one way. And then for some reason I had this awakening that, gee, there's other wonderful opportunities out there that bless our lives.
Yes.
But we can't cut ourselves off from it.
Yes.
You know, we learn so much from others.
And in our schools, we have, of course, some parents who are yogis, studying yoga and living by that sort of philosophy. But we've also had Buddhists, Hindus, a lot of Jewish students, and agnostic and atheist children.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
Yeah. And so it works for everyone, because it isn't just teaching a one right way.
Well, everyone who believes that there's something more than this material world.
All right. Now, I realize that there's a number of different Living Wisdom schools around the world these days,
yes.
But do they all, I would imagine, start with the younger kids, most likely? And, of course, we'll cover those.
Most likely. I think next year we're starting a high school in our Palo Alto school.
Oh, how exciting.
Yes.
So when we starting younger kids, I know when I grew up, the first thing that I was forced to do, and I mean literally forced to do, was nursery school. Because I didn't want to leave home. I didn't want to leave my mom. And I can still see the visions of, you know, being pried away to being put on that bus and how painful that was for me. But do we start like at a nursery school? So I went nursery school, and then we went into kindergarten, which was like 5 to 6 years old, and then to the regular grade school, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Is there a similar progression in the Living Wisdom schools, or where,
there's
at what
a similar
age and
progression.
How do young kids start?
It's not that we believe, though, that every child needs to go to preschool or nursery school, as you call it. Many parents prefer to keep them at home until kindergarten, and that's absolutely fine, but we do offer
preschool. Okay.
Yes.
And what age children?
I think most of our schools start at 3.5.
Oh, okay.
And some maybe 4. And then there, I believe there's one that does not have a preschool, so it starts with 5-year-olds. Yes.
Excellent. Excellent. And then from the preschool level, is there like a kindergarten level that kind of mm-hmm. equates to regular public school type situation?
Well, I wouldn't say it equates to regular public school presently, because there has been so much pressure for academic achievement and for testing that now they're expecting kids to read when they finish kindergarten.
Oh, wow.
Well,
we didn't even begin
ready.
That. You know, See Spot Run didn't happen until first grade
right.
when I was a kid.
Well, some children are ready to read,
okay. uh-huh.
but many are not. And developmentally, we don't believe it really helps to push them. Because they will read when they're, I mean, with instruction, they will read when they're ready, which is more likely to be at 6 or 7.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting, because I've heard since I knew we were going to do this show, wouldn't you know that some of the teachers have crossed my path and the subjects have come up, and I'm fascinated to find out more about how the Living Wisdom schools kind of adjust what you're doing, even within one class with the different students and so forth. And the pressure is not to force them all to reach the same level together or do the same thing together. And that's a fascinating concept to me. However, we need to stay on schedule and take care of our advertisers and sponsors that bring us this great programming. So stay right where you are, everybody. We're going to do that now. And we will continue with Susan Usha-Derman, author of Calm and Compassionate Children, and our focus on the Living Wisdom Schools and everything that encompasses. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Did you know that there's a gentle energy balancing method for restoring health, mobility, and athletic performance for your dog, cat, or horse? Bioenergetic synchronization, as used by Nels Rasmussen, creates transformations in health, mobility, and performance. To learn more, you can visit online, NelsHealingMinistry.com, or call 425-238-2668. That's 425-238-2668. Attention pet lovers. We all want the best for our pets, and that includes quality of life, longevity, and overall well-being. Raymakers Nutrition has developed a line of patented products that have been shown to dramatically improve immune function, improve response to vaccines by over 400%, and help strengthen the systems in the body that fight cancer cells. Introducing Veterinary Immune Tabs. These chewable tabs are safe for dogs and cats. Find out more about how Veterinary Immune Tabs can improve your pet's longevity and state of wellness. Contact Dr. Bill Burlingame at BillBurlingameDVM@gmail.com or call 425-903-1913.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have 2 professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you? you running on the show. You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude and Paul Ponton are experts in the field of vibrational alignment and harmonic shifting. They're also co-authors of Acutonics for Dogs and Cats and Acutonics from Galaxies to Cells, Planetary Science, Harmony, and Medicine. They can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude and Paul can work with you remotely, at their office, or on site if you live in the Seattle area. They also teach classes in the Acutonic Sound Healing System. Check out their website, whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email them at resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
1150KKNW.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hey y'all, I'm Martha Norwalk, and boy, you know, we're on the downside of hour number one already here listening to Animal World, and I thank you for that. We're honoring the human animal today, and our kids in the Living Wisdom Schools, we'll get back to that in just a moment, but I wanted to remind you, you heard about Dr. Nels Rasmussen and his great bioenergetic synchronization technique work. It's absolutely phenomenal. Check it out at www.nelshealingministry.com, and if you are interested in having him work with you or your animal friends, you can click on the healing packages and fill out an intake form, and he'll call you and do a free telephone evaluation. He says that can take 30 to 45 minutes, and he's happy to gift you with that and let you know what he can do to help. And if you'd like to call him, his number is 425-238-2668, and he will be back in the studio in the second Sunday of December. Then you also heard about my personal animals veterinarian, Dr. Bill Burlingame. He has got Burlingame Veterinary Consulting, and I'll tell you, if you have heard him, he is the expert on immune support for our animal friends. And by providing that to our animals, you can prevent all kinds of chronic disease and illness and keep them healthier, and it costs you a whole lot less in the long run to keep them healthy. So if you haven't gotten on board with immune support, it's time to do that. It took me a long time, so I'm not surprised if you haven't started yet, but I've got all my cats on the transfer factor now with the mushrooms and all that good stuff, and Robbie Golden has taken the immune tabs, and there's even a chewable form. And if you'd like to know what will work best for your animals, Dr. Bill will help you out with that, and you can give him a call at 425-903-1913. That's 425-903-1913. Or you can email him, Bill Burlingame, DVM, at gmail.com. We also talked about Whispering Dragon, Jude and Paul Ponton, the harmonic energy healers and shifters. And their sessions are wonderful. Check out their website at whispering-dragon.com. Their sound portals is what they call them. It's occurring to me now these would probably be great for the children, because they have four of them now available to download from their website. One is grounding, one is abundance, one is tranquility, and the other's joy. And you can loop them, and the sounds help bring in those energies, which is really, really wonderful. And then again, pay attention to current events. We'll talk about it later in the show, or check it out on the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com, because they've got some good events coming up as well. All right, let's get back to our subject. Susan Usha Derman in the studio, author of Calm and Compassionate Children, and we are talking about the Living Wisdom Schools. And Boy, a great conversation going on here. And I had to slow it down and say, all right, you guys, Kathy and Usha are chatting away. I said, there's lots of other people that want to hear what you're talking about, too. But I thought when we'd go back, we've established the fact that there is like a preschool environment at the Living Wisdom schools. And can you give us an idea, Usha, of kind of what would typically go on at this preschool level for these children?
Well, it might not look externally a lot different than other preschools. You know, they're doing a lot of hands-on activities. Mm-hmm. They're outside a lot. We take our students outside for a minimum of half an hour a day, and that's just those students who are half-time preschoolers. So they're outside experiencing the environment and nature a lot. And they're, of course, learning a lot of social skills at that age, how to get along with each other, how to ask for things rather than grabbing and fighting and all of those basic things. But they also have time each day where there's just a little bit of, at that age it's not much, but a few seconds of silence, sitting still. And perhaps you might combine that with looking at something beautiful or listening to something beautiful. But it's you know, providing a really uplifting environment for all of their senses so that their beautiful sounds, smells, colors, and pictures, because that all of those things are so influential on the mind and the heart at that age.
So when you say they go outside every day, now what I go back to, you know, in school was recess, which was kind of we were just taken out and let go, you know, to play on stuff.
Uh-huh.
Now, but that doesn't sound is there a recess type thing or is it a different structure completely? And it sounds like there's more interaction from the adults or the teachers and teaching.
Well, certainly
appreciation of nature and so
with
forth.
The younger children, there's a lot more guidance, you know, so taking them together to one activity. But as the children get older, it pretty much is a free recess, but the teachers are always there to help out. And so if there is, and there always will be, some sort of disagreement or conflict, helping the students learn how you resolve those things. You know, it's a lot of learning that takes place at recess.
Well,
and so these schools that, you know, just hire untrained people to be the watchers at recess, it's mm-hmm. kind of puzzling to us, because
right.
that's a time where really you need some expert skill to help students.
Yeah, it totally makes sense. So then out of the preschool, we go into the kindergarten levels.
Mm-hmm.
And is that like still in the like 5 to 6 year old range?
That's
there?
Right. That's
okay.
right.
And then so what happens at that level for these
kids? A lot
kids?
Of imaginative play. Of course, they would start with letters and sound recognition in preschool. And in kindergarten, that gets more intense and they're writing more. And but that just beautiful, uplifting studies. So, for example, at the school where I am right now in Shoreline Living Wisdom School, the kindergarten teacher really recently did a Native American unit. So they learned just some of the most uplifting things about the Native American culture.
Wow.
She gave them all Native American names.
Oh,
they
wow.
were wonderful, like a keeper of the wisdom or... Yeah. A protector of others, or
something probably that matched their personality.
Exactly.
And so, yeah. Oh, cool.
And they made headbands. They made little imitation leather vests, sort of things,
uh-huh,
out of brown
uh-huh.
paper bags, which they painted. Lots of hands-on
cool.
work. You know, making the headbands was gluing on seeds and beans, and so a lot of fine motor skills, just like any school, but in the context of something really uplifting. And then they had a powwow.
Oh, how fun.
And one of our members, is a young man who has Native American heritage, came and directed the powwow. And they had beautiful, uplifting chants that they did and, you know, had a campfire. It was really, they loved it. And but the main thing was they're learning the same things that other kids are learning in kindergarten, but in a very uplifting way, in a way that
yeah.
elevates their spirits.
Isn't that wonderful? Because when I go back to, you know, that level of kindergarten and then going into first grade, what I remember is everybody always being in trouble, you know, and they were always trying to control us. And you know, and you were ordered to stay in your desk and not move. And how difficult that was for so many, especially me. And to see the focus be so uplifting, but teaching, you know, those basic life skills is so important. And I can certainly attest to having been a member of Ananda and been around the community and a church and all of that sort of stuff for several years now. I am blown away at the children, because most of the children that are around there are students at the Living Wisdom School, and they are the calmest, most compassionate children. They are friendly and seemed very balanced and stable, and the intelligence and the wisdom that comes from these children is mind-boggling.
It is.
I mean, they're very, very different than children that are growing up in the regular school system.
That is. I had a parent one time say at a birthday party, she could tell which kids were the Living Wisdom School's kids and which were not, just by the way they acted when the student was opening or the child was opening the birthday gifts.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's just a difference in compassion and empathy versus greed. That's normal, but it's not channeled in the proper direction.
Wonderful.
In some places. So just back to what you're saying about you're not liking school, and right before the break you had said something about we didn't force the children to all be at the same place at the mm-hmm. same time.
Yeah.
And I think every good teacher knows that's impossible. But I think another reason that is actually, it flows more easily in Living Wisdom School is we see the human, the child, or any of us as adults as well, as having four aspects to ourselves. And those are physical, feeling, mental or intellectual, and willpower.
Uh-huh.
And so we actually don't elevate the intellectual achievements above achievements in the other areas, because those other areas are just as important for us as a whole, our society as a whole, and individuals as a whole. So the people who are more feeling-oriented actually excel in the arts, and often they like animals and work with animals as well.
Uh-huh.
But the arts are one way that feeling people often find a venue to express that heart, that passion. Writers often have that very strongly too. And of course, the physical people are the people who, you know, they become contractors and people or yoga teachers or dancers, or this is all essential for us. And so in some schools, kids who can't be still, that's a problem. But those very kids could become wonderful gymnasts or wonderful dancers if they have an outlet for that physical energy.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I know some of your listeners might be familiar with Ken Robinson, who's a famous lecturer and writer in the field of education and other fields. And he has books about, I think the one called The Element. He has story after story after story of kids who were not successful or were very troubled in school. But once they found someone who recognized their strengths and their talents, and that was encouraged, they just flowered. And if you think about it, a lot of the greatest people were not very good in school, like Einstein, like Edison. Edison's mother took him out and homeschooled him because it was disastrous, the school experience, probably because he was such a hands-on, curious person, and there wasn't a place for that.
And I found so difficult in the early, like in the first grade levels when we were just getting used to being in class all day long, was how long we had to sit there still, and we were supposed to focus our minds, the whole thing. I mean, all we were doing was focusing on the intellectual learning, which you were talking about. And that was just really tough.
And I think it's becoming more understood in general now that children need more physical movement, as research is showing. Things like when you stand up, you get 15, I think it's 15 or it might be more, percent more oxygen to your brain just by standing up.
Wow.
And you're seeing a lot of brain research that is showing. I just have to say, Martha pointed to Mike, the engineer here, because he's working standing up there.
Oh,
Martha,
Kathy just stood up here.
Yeah, I mean, not Martha, but Kathy.
Well, isn't that what they're doing now in business?
Yes.
People are, having more, there are more desks that are at the height so the employees can stand while they work.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know.
Well, and Barry, it brings that something that I don't know if you've met Krista Gibson yet, but she is an Ananda member, and she is the editor and publisher of New Spirit Journal and author.
Yes.
And, you know, her wonderful book, Anything is Possible, is just grand. But in one of her emails this week, she was talking about the subject, and one technique that she picked up from someone, I don't remember who, says that I think Christine Northrup, about being healthy, that if you're one that sits and works at a desk all day, you need to stand up and down. And that if you stand up 32 times a day, for whatever, that does something really, really important. So Krista has two bowls on her desk with 32 like little stones or marbles. And every time she stands up, she moves one from one bowl to the other. And by the end of the day, she requires that she's moved all 32 stones. So she knows she's stood up.
That's fabulous.
Yeah. So isn't that great?
That is super fabulous.
Yeah. All right. So we are going to, thank you, Krista, for that. We are going to close out hour number one, fire up hour number two, and stay with our subject. So we're heading into first grade, you know, grade school in the Living Wisdom Schools to find out what does that look like for the children. So stay right where you are. Animal World continues. We're focusing on the human animal and our children and the Living Wisdom Schools right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.